Welcome to the You've Got to Read This podcast, which is part of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Library digital branch. In these recordings, we discuss books we think you're really going to want to check out. For this episode, our theme will be Small Things That Make a Big Impact. I'm Cameron, and I'm an adult services librarian at the University City Library, and I will be discussing Make Your Bed, Little Things That Can Change Your Life and Maybe the World by Admiral William H. McRaven.
I'm Christy Madron, and I am a children's librarian at Morrison Regional Library, and I'm going to be reading The Ghost Map, the story of the London's most terrifying epidemic and how it changed science, cities, and the modern world by Stephen Johnson. What a mouthful.
I'm Kate Hill. I'm a senior library assistant at University City Regional Library, and I will be talking about And Then You Die of Dysentery, Lessons in Adulting from the Oregon Trail by Lauren Reeves. You can find all the titles that we talk about today through the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Library catalog. Go to www.cmlibrary.org and choose the green catalog button.
Okay, so we're going to talk first about The Ghost Map. It is a very readable nonfiction book. It's written a little bit like narrative fiction. It's narrative nonfiction. So it's about a true story of how sanitation and epidemiology and a lot of different things just changed the whole world from basically one very small incident. And one person changed the way that our modern cities work and prevented disease, and like when we're having outbreaks of disease, how they get studied. So all of those things come together in this one book. So the Ghost Map is a map that the doctor, John Snow, who was living in London.
No relation, right?
Yeah, I know. But he's living in London, and he's a very well-respected doctor, partially because they have just recently introduced the idea of ether for surgeries. And so he's one of the Queen's private physicians because he's one of the few people that knows how to use ether. And she's going to be giving birth, and it makes the experience so much easier. So if you're not really there for all of it. But so it's the summer of 1854 in London. And at that time, London stank. It stank bad because sewers would just run into the Thames, and you just have dead stuff floating in the river. All the million people that live in London.
History was really smelly.
It was so, so smelly. And in fact, Parliament was right on against the River Thames, and they actually wanted to shut down Parliament and move and like not be there for a while because the summer in the heat was just awful. In the middle of this, this one family had a young baby who got cholera. Unfortunately, the baby did die of cholera. Many, many people started catching cholera, and it was a very terrible strain. A lot of people started dying, which is where the ghost part comes from. He was trying to find out the common thread between all of these different people. So he had to track all of that down, and so it's the beginning of epidemiology. And so because of him tracing the issue of this disease and figuring out what the common thread was, and also showing that this is what caused everybody to get sick in the first place, London embarked on a huge sanitation. It made a huge difference for modern societies. After this point, cities started smelling less awful because they started deciding that, you know what, we don't want a whole bunch of people dying of dysentery or cholera. They didn't want them dying of diseases that were preventable.
I never thought I would actually be thanking Jon Snow for saving my life.
Yes, Jon Snow saved many, many people's lives. Thanks, Jon Snow.
And the book that I'm going to talk about is by Admiral William H. McRaven. He served in the Navy SEAL. He became the Chancellor of the University of Texas system. And the book is called Make Your Bed, Little Things That Can Change Your Life and Maybe the World. And I'm dedicating this choice to a volunteer at the University City Regional Library who we've recently lost. And this is a book that she said everybody should read because it really, it's very inspiring, and it just, it really gets at the crux of you, just small things can make a big difference. And I want to read the back of the book to start. It says, If you want to change the world, start off by making your bed. If you make your bed every morning, you will have accomplished the first task of the day. It will give you a small sense of pride, and it will encourage you to do another task and another and another. By the end of the day, that one task completed will have turned into many tasks completed. Making your bed will also reinforce the fact that little things in life matter. If you can't do the little things right, you will never do the big things right. And that just really is very impactful, I think, to just think that just something small as making your bed can kind of have a ripple effect that you've accomplished one thing right when you get up in the day. So doing that can lead to other things. And I wanted to share a couple of examples from the book that he talks about. And the book is really short, so it's a really good quick read. But it is inspiring, so I'd recommend it if you just need, you know, to read short chapters and find something that will kind of lift you up in the day or give you encouragement and hope and motivation. One of the examples he gives is when he was with his SEAL team and they had an exercise to do and were faced with the possibility of not completing the exercise because teammates wanted to give up or couldn't get through it. But he really says that even in doubt, band together to make something happen. So stand up and try to rally your team. And he titles the chapter, "If You Want to Change the World, Start Singing When You're Up to Your Neck in Mud." And what he says is sometimes all it takes is one person to make a difference. We all find ourselves neck deep in mud someday. That is the time to sing loudly, to smile broadly, to lift those around you and give them hope that tomorrow will be a better day. So if you can just have that hope and encouragement for someone else is how I took it, even in a small way, to rally a team together, that really just makes a big difference. Another example that he gave is, again, with his SEAL team unit. They had an unspeakable loss. There were a helicopter crashed, and a lot of the servicemen passed away. So he says, at some point, we will all confront a dark moment in life. If not the passing of a loved one, then something else that crushes your spirit and leaves you wondering about your future. In that dark moment, reach deep inside yourself and be your very best. So again, that just speaks to look within yourself, you know, try to find that hope and try to be a source of hope for others, I think is what the book really does. But it is about those small things, and it seems like some things are insurmountable, but I think if you just look at little components and pieces of your life that you can change one small step at a time, I think that's really what the book speaks to. And it does just give that kind of that encouragement and advice of life, so to speak.
Yeah, it sounds like it was a real inspiration to our volunteer, and could be for me as well. I might have to check that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will say that my New Year's resolution this year was to make my bed every day.
Oh, well, there you go.
Because it's not something that I do regularly.
How's that going for you?
So far, I've done it.
Good.
I have done it all through January and beginning of February, so I hope that I keep up with it because it is nice to come home to a made bed.
It does feel good at the end of
the day. It feels
like
you've accomplished something then.
Yeah.
At least that one thing.
And it's almost like there's a treat waiting for me at the end of the day. I get to come home to a beautifully made bed to climb into at the end of the day. So it bookends the beginning of my day with an accomplishment, a small one, no matter what. I made my bed. And then at the end of the day, I get to be like, I get to go into nice, smooth sheets that aren't all crumpled up and I have to find where my top sheet is and unwrap it from my blanket. So it is really nice.
It sounds like it might be part of kind of a soothing thing for you for if you were having trouble sleeping, like insomnia in general.
Yeah. I like right now, I'm like, my bed is at home, all made.
That's so funny. I was just thinking about my bed. I'm like, I love those blankets. They're not made, but they are very comfortable.
Yeah. Well, give it a try.
It's not like it's a hard thing or something that takes up a lot of time. And Right. Like you said, it's just a little thing.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's all we need, just something small that we can say, you know, even when life throws all kinds of challenges, we've done one small
thing.
We've gotten something done.
To lighten a little bit of our theme today, I did pick And Then You Die of Dysentery by Lauren Reeves.
Does it sound light?
It doesn't sound light. It sounds terrible. But as many of you will likely remember, the game The Oregon Trail was kind of a childhood obsession for a lot of us. And it was a lot of fun to play, even though, at least so far as I'm aware, you pretty much can't win the game. I mean, I'm sure there were people who managed it, but I never did. I never made it to Oregon. But it was still a lot of fun to play. I still have fond memories of it. And one of the things about this book is that it plays on the nostalgia of childhood and playing games, but it's also a little bit about the lessons that we learn playing games. And this one in particular, it says rules of adulting. And so it is kind of tongue in cheek, a little bit like, you know, memes on the internet. but there are some cute things about keeping going, even though things are difficult, and accepting that you may not have everything you need, but you may still be able to find a way through, and you have to look for it. So as much as it is very silly and funny, there's some nice moments to it too. It will definitely make you laugh. They make a few, you know, crude jokes here and there. I mean, you can't get away with calling a book and then you die of dysentery without making at least a couple of rude jokes. But it was a lot of fun to read, and I enjoyed it. And it's very quick too. It's a lot of picture type things, like I said, like kind of like a meme on the internet. But it stayed with me. It's been a little while since I read it, and I still kind of chuckle to myself, and kind of helps you like, all right, I've had this laugh. I've let this kind of release go. I can do this next thing.
Awesome. So it seems like we went from the longest book to a shorter book to the very shortest.
The very shortest, yeah.
How long did you say it took you to read it?
I would say, I said 5 minutes, I think. That's probably an exaggeration, but it truly didn't take me more than 30 minutes to read. It was very quick. Like I said, it's mostly pictures with just a very short text here and there as far as what's read. It is very much, you know, if you didn't play the game or you're not familiar with the game, it probably won't be as much fun for you because it relies heavily on those memories of not making it to Oregon.
So millennial Gen X.
Absolutely. Oh, 100%.
Young Gen X.
but it's a lot of fun to read.
Cool. I did play that game, and I always was like losing my wagon in the river. And
I don't think I ever managed to ford the river.
Yeah.
Don't think that happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. And they often, you know, somebody died of dysentery. You're like, dang it, my son.
I have lost my wheel and I have no spares, and now I'm going to die in the desert. Yeah. But, and it's funny, I think, because we, like I said, I never won the game, and yet I continued to play. And I think it's kind of a metaphor for life as well. Like, even when you feel like you're not winning life, and I think we all have those times, you still keep going.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I often have this philosophy that life is like a wagon wheel, and we mostly live on the rim.
Okay.
And sometimes you're down in the mud, sometimes you're up in the air, and sometimes you feel like you're drowning a little bit, but the wheel always keeps turning.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. I like
that. Nice.
And I think Lauren Reeves would agree with you. Yeah. I think she would like to add that to her book.
So you can find the titles that we talked about today at the Charlotte Mecklenburg Library Catalog. Go to cmlibrary.org and choose the green catalog button. We talked about Ghost Map by Stephen Johnson, Make Your Bed by Admiral William H. McRaven, and we talked about And Then You Die of Dysentery by Lauren Reeves. And we're so excited that you came and listened to our podcast today. You can search by title, author, or keyword. You'll see all of the available formats like print, ebooks, and audiobooks. I don't think you'll see And Then You Die of Dysentery in audiobook, but
no, it relies on pictures a good bit.
But you might be able to find it in ebook form. If it's not at your branch, you can always place a hold to have it sent there.
Well, thank you again for joining us for You've Got to Read This. We hope we've given you a good discussion and some ideas for what you'll read next. Look for upcoming episodes on the Digital Branch at digitalbranch.cmlibrary.org. Select the box for You've Got to Read This. And remember to visit our website, cmlibrary.org. We have our catalog and our resources page, but we are also on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram. Look for hashtag CMLibrary and @CMLibrary. See you next time.